Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe. Only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Where normal becomes paranormal. Here is your host, Rebecca.
Good evening, guys, and welcome to the Paranormal Fringe. Tonight we have Chris Edge, who is the host of Cryptonormal X. He's also a researcher, an author, and a radio show personality of his own right. He has to do some motivational speaking, and he is going to speak to us tonight about cryptozoology and some paranormal stuff, as well as a specific area of study that he is interested in, which is the Dog Man of Michigan. And being from Michigan, of course, I am highly interested in this particular crypto. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I do also have my co-host Ryan Nemec in studio, but he is not feeling well. So he probably won't be his usual cheerful Ryan self. But we'll go ahead and get started anyway, and hopefully he'll be able to keep up. And I'd like to welcome Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you tonight?
Hello, Rebecca. Thank you for having me on tonight.
You're very welcome. I also want to note that David Kielman, is it Kellerman or Kielman?
Kielman, that's fine.
Kielman, okay. I'm terrible with names when I look at them.
It's okay.
David is not feeling well either. I'm not sure if somebody just decided to, you know, poison everyone who's going to be on my radio show tonight, but David is not feeling well either, so he will not be with us, but that's okay. We will have him on again at a later date. So we're going to go ahead and get rolling here. Chris, what I'm going to do is let you go ahead and kind of introduce yourself, and then we're going to go ahead and start talking about the Dog Man.
All right. That's perfectly fine with me. You want to begin or want me to go?
Go ahead.
Go.
Give everybody a little idea of who you are.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thank you for having me on again. Thank you. Everybody out there, my name is Chris Edge. I am the, obviously, as Rebecca said, host of Cryptonormal X. I am a researcher and upcoming author. I'm currently writing a Dog Man book, and as well as focusing on a couple other projects in relation to written fields. But I am basically a researcher in everything. I study cryptozoology, paranormal, and basically, Dogman is a big topic. It's very rare do you get paranormal fields interest in a topic, so this is actually pretty good because the paranormal with Dogman does tie in to a specific portion, and I always like to consider cryptozoology and paranormal close to the same, the exception that instead of it being just mysterious creatures with elements of the supernatural, which ties into a little bit of paranormal, it really does tie in as a link. But Dogman is an interesting topic. It has been, the funny thing is that, you know, I'm going to bring this up in the right now, and I'm going to bring it up at the end, because this has been something that's been interesting as of late with the Dogman topic. A lot of people compare it to that of werewolves and skinwalkers. And
right.
I like to go out on a bit. Well, that's okay. The reason why is because I'm also a part of a couple Facebook groups with Dogman content, and a lot of people tend to compare them to the Hollywood werewolf that we know of. But I like to go off on a limb and say that Dogmen and werewolves are two different topics, because there's no reports of them being spotted turning from man to wolf on the full moon. On top of that, silver bullets aren't not putting it in a negative context, but if people were to get a hitch on silver, and more importantly, if it was a popular trend, any gun can hit one of these creatures, unless there's some sort of special chemical in it that can kill one. There have been people who've killed them, but if not, it's very rare. You don't really hear those stories, but you know, it's interesting to an extent because people will go off and compare them to that of the werewolf war when they're two different topics. You know, dogmen are.
Right.
I like to throw them out as a flesh and blood. I don't like to compare them as a supernatural. There is a different type that has supernatural elements, but you know, if a Sasquatch can take blood and take a couple hits, a dogman can too. People tend to forget that these creatures, you know, and any cryptid really, you know, you can fire a 9mm at something like that, and it's not going to just fall to the ground. You know, that's like shooting a bear, for example. You know, it takes a couple hits if you aim properly to attack one or to kill one in proper context. You know, as a guy who goes out in camps, you know, you don't just, if you see a bear and your leg feels threatened, you're not just going to shoot it and, you know, hit its chest, or you want to aim for the head, which would be the typical context for any firearm defense. But going back to Dogman, you know, the lore for this creature goes back even past the European times when the werewolf genre, when that all started coming out, not going into the werewolf topic, but, you know, Native Americans used, and it's a little something that's interesting to point out is that you'll notice in some stones in Native American culture, there are silhouettes and illustrations of creatures that could be your Sasquatch, as well as could be dogmen. Pointy ears have been spotted in some of them. I know from speaking to a lot of dogman researchers that have been high profile in the field. I know Linda Godfrey, for example. I don't know if you're familiar with her. You know, she's an author. She basically got the whole story of dogmen out there. But at the time when she first started giving that story out was the Beast of Prey Road, which is the sister equivalence to that of a dogman, which is believed to be a dogman. And, you know, people like Linda, who've made dozens of books on the topic, you know, she doesn't also like to compare them to the werewolf Hollywood. You know, she calls it a man-wolf. And I think, I don't know really where the term dogman really originated from. I mean, because I also like to kind of go off on the limb and consider it a man-wolf, because a description of one, the body of a man, obviously, and there are female types, by the way. There are, obviously, if there's more than just a couple, there is a breeding, there are pups. Tall, hairy, has the look of a German shepherd's head as well, pointy ears. There are, at the moment, there are currently 7 variations of one, but there is definitely more. It's just a matter of how many people can come forward, and from research, how many different types there could be. There's bipedal, there's quadruple. There are ones that have very little hair. There are ones that have no hair, like Mang. There are ones that have enlarged heads that are considered rogues and fat head soldiers. That's what their nickname is, the fat heads, which are tend to be loners, and they tend to kill anything in their path. So basically, the one, that's why I also like to consider it as a rogue, because it just kills anything, even other dogmen. Other dogmen, according to some research who I've spoken to, say that the dogmen, the normal non-fatheads, fear them. They try to help the humans get away from them. Sasquatch tend to help humans. It's hard to go into with such a little time we got, but basically, you know, not people would think a creature that looks like something you'd see out of a werewolf movie is intimidating, which it should be taken as intimidating. You know how many people have come to me and have said, oh, I just want to meet one, I want to hug one, I want to, you know, silly little fantasy things such as that. And I remind people constantly.
Hug one?
I'm like, yeah. I mean, really.
That's like wanting to hug a grizzly bear, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, if people want to go ahead and hug one, you know, I'm not going to pay the your own errands, you know. Like, seriously,
now,
you know, that there comes goals. Oh, go ahead, Rebecca. I apologize.
I was just going to say, you know, based on the research that I've done, the first reported sighting was back in 1887 in Wexford County, Michigan. And so, you know, the theory I've heard is that this is some kind of scientific experiment gone wrong, that it's a hybrid of some sort. But considering it's reported back all the way to 1887, would you agree that's highly unlikely that this is some kind of experiment gone wrong? I mean, I don't think they had the technology to splice genes back in 1897.
Unless our government and other governments had the technology back then during the end of the Civil War and had the secret lair of high-tech technology, whether some magician with the ability to do that was able to pull form and execute that. I don't believe the government experiments. Now, you guys, if you're not familiar with Land Between the Lakes, there is a huge, huge, a lot of conspiracy behind Land Between the Lakes. Basically, LBL is a national recreation park, and Jody Cook, who is another popular researcher, he's also another paranormal investigator, but more of a dogman guy. He has done various investigations there. He's also the head of the NADP, which is a North American Dogman Project. If there's anybody interested in the topic who wants to become a representative for the states, I'm a representative of the state of New Jersey. You know, feel free, you know, ask Jody if the subject is fascinating and you want to conduct your own research. I highly recommend it. You can also be a representative for any state. You know, you have another backup in another county. The LBL. In the place, LBL has a lot of history. There's a lot of graveyards. Now, one thing I'm going to go off topic on is that dogmen are spotted at Native American graveyards, a lot of Indian burial grounds. There was a report in Wisconsin in 1936 of a security watchman who saw one digging in an Indian burial mound. And it was to the point where this creature got up to, literally, he noticed that the creatures know, these creatures, people think that they're much like, you know, these any cryptid is like, you know, something like that they're stupid, like the, like, and they think that, you know, this is like a creature, because Sasquatch tend to run away from people, though there are those who will analyze a person and throw rocks, make noise to get out of their territory, as well as even lunge at somebody. Dogmen are the same thing, except dogmen are more curious of the human being. Dogmen will chase you. Dogmen will make their presence known. You can see a dogman 50 feet away from you, but like the typical predator, will have a pack also surround you. But, you know, of course, you know, people don't think in the values, especially when it comes to eyewitnesses, because this is something, and I've a lot of eyewitnesses who've come forward about these encounters have came out saying that they've never seen this creature before. They never heard of it. They've heard of Sasquatch there and there, but they never knew that this existed. So to them, as in they're skeptical at first, they become believers because they're like, well, I don't know what I saw, but it definitely wasn't no bear. And that's the same result that comes out of a Sasquatch encounter 90% of the time. But going back is that people think that these creatures are not intelligent when they are. So when this watchman saw this creature and the creature knew he was there, the guy got up and this creature was about it. You know, we don't know the full account of what really went down. We can only know that he prayed and the creature got a little close to him and said Gadara and just ran off. Now,
it's
whatever the case may be, right. And whatever the case may be. And yeah, you know what? And it's crazy too, because people have also went out on a limb and spoke that these creatures can give you telepathic connection. In other words, they can talk to you through the mind. I've had a couple of researchers and a couple of eyewitnesses who come forward in some of the groups, and I've heard them on a couple podcasts say that, you know, their encounters feel like it's like 5 minutes or even 3 minutes, but it was only 60 seconds, and that there was a communication or there was a sign of intimidation where this creature eyeballed a human and basically made it clear that I'm taller than you, I'm stronger than you, I can kill you in 1,000 different ways, get away from me, and that's the end game. Because if anybody wanted to be idiotic and think that they can fight this creature or go out, and that goes back to hugging one, you know, your chances of winning is very low, extremely low. You know, I would bet more money on the dogman than you, unless you had a C4 or a grenade and pulled it off and took yourself out in the process and took it out as well. You know, I mean, that's the kind of crazy talk, but I mean, that's the idea. You know, people, like I said, tend to underestimate that cryptids are these ridiculous, silly, and dumb creatures that, you know, don't know much except they live in the wild. But they're very intelligent. They're, I think, more intelligent than the average human being.
We have had cryptozoologists on our show before because on the fringe, you know, we go everywhere. You know, anything, in our way of looking, paranormal is anything that's not normal. It's not just ghosts. It's anything that's outside of the norm. So we go everywhere. And we've had other cryptozoologists on our show. And one of their theories was including such, you know, Bigfoot, Dogman, the Mothman, are all maybe possibly aliens, you know, and that they're here, you know, more or less trying to coexist with us, maybe study us. How do you feel about the possibility that maybe that's what they are?
Well, it's funny how you bring that up because I had interviewed Linda Godfrey, who I spoke of basically bringing the story out, and Linda was on my show, and I asked a specific question alluding close to interdimension, and she brought up the idea that they will go through portals that we don't see, that when they are encountered, they're from the other dimension, that when you see one, that they come through the portal, and then there have been some reports, as a matter of fact, David Kyleman, for example, in his report, he had an encounter with one that had red hair, and he saw it for a couple seconds, it ran the other way, and then next thing you know, it disappeared, and he had no clue where it went. And people, like, and this goes for Sasquatch, Mothman, and Dogman, Chupacabras, that there, and this is also confirmed. I also spoke to a medium, a psychic, a spiritual advisor who came out and said that Sasquatch will use portals as well as UFOs, aliens are involved with that type of time machinery, which is a little, you know, for some people who don't really, when you go into these fields, you're going to get a lot of things that are going to be like unbelievable, like, oh, that's just a bunch of bull, that's not true. But in these fields, you know, it's hard to go out and tell the public that you can see a ghost and they look at you like, oh, okay. And the other day I saw Donald Duck on the boardwalk, you know, like that's the idea. It's hard to give a society, especially in the social media age. Even back then it was worse. But now, you know, there are so many people who will think that we're a bunch of like loony people, that we belong in the happy farms and the mental hospitals, because they don't understand that. And I also see it as people who see these things, there's a reason for it, as well as maybe there it's a gifted thing. I had a woman come on my show who had various dogman encounters, and she brought up an encounter about blood types. Her blood type was an A positive, that in many cases, people who've encountered dogmen with those blood types have a lot of encounters, and some could be good, some could be bad. She actually talked about when she was a young kid having a juvenile and a female coddle her and cuddle with her and, you know, treat her like a human baby. And, you know, for a story such as that, to come out and, you know, say to somebody, well, that's a little unbelliness compared to what we know out of all these other creatures. But, you know, the thing with a lot of the juveniles is that juvenile dogmen, especially with the females, aren't as agile as they are to an adult male or to an adult female. If you have a pup and you're surrounded, if you're right by a pup dogman, and and then you have the adults near you, you know, there's going to be a chance where it's like the typical mama bear, where you're going to get away or you're going to get closer and you're going to put yourself into a world of problems, because, you know, that's just your typical instinct of, you know, if your kid is still threatened, then you're going to, you know, defend it and make sure that it's not harmed. The same goes for Bigfoots and possible Chupacabra babies or Mothman birdlets or whatever. I mean, it's interesting. A lot, there's so many things people can get out of it. But back on Dogman, you know, with LBL, I know it kind of drifted out of it, but there are, going back to the whole government experimentation real quick, there was this the LBL has had some killings in the area that have involved government officials, and this is coming from two sources. This is coming from Jan Thompson, who's another paranormal researcher and a cryptozoologist, as well as Jody Cook. And their two stories came out, and it's changed over the past like decade and a half, but the best possible accurate story out of it is, you know, there was this family that was murdered in LBL. A couple who was walking along the trail saw this RV, and this entire family was brutally mauled, torn apart. There was talons, there was hair, there was blood everywhere. The RV was trashed, torn up, and they called the police and said, "Look, I don't feel comfortable being here. We're going to give you the coordinates and send a couple of your guys down here because this is terrible what we're looking at." Sheriffs come in, they take a look. They were completely flabbergasted at what they were looking at, and one of the sheriffs was walking through a trail, and there was blood dripping underneath this tree that he pulled up and took a look and saw this little girl torn to bits hanging from a tree.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a pretty – when I first heard about that story, my stomach sunk in. I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. And the sheriffs – I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just
no, nothing.
Agreeing with you.
Oh, I thought.
In one question that I have for you, did you say Dane Cook?
Dane Cook. No, I didn't say Dane Cook.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said. My apologies.
Dane Cook running through the forest. No.
Yeah, Ryan's a little sick and feverish, so we have to excuse him. As far as Land Between the Lakes, now this is in like Western Kentucky, Tennessee area, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that's 170,000 acres, from what I'm understanding.
Yes, lots of land. There's also reported paranormal activity, mysterious animals there. I mean, I don't know how it gets any more mysterious than a beast of LBL that I'm talking about with the killings.
Right.
There's actually also a vampire hotel, which is nicknamed Hotel California, of a reported vampire cult that was in the area.
Oh,
the
wow.
Building that they're
in this area?
Is now torn down. Yes.
You know, it is 170,000 acres, so, you know, and I'm sure some of that is unexplored.
The funny thing about LBL is that you can many people don't go to the area to look at all the other paranormal vampire hotel. They go to go and see if they can find the beast of LBL. And this is what I also bring to some people who want to go out and search for dogmen. If you're an inexperienced researcher and you do not have somebody who's had experience in your group, it's a very stupid and silly idea because you don't know what this creature can do, and you can endanger yourself. On top of that, you know, if you go into this, first of all, the thing about LBL is that you can't go into the more deep into the woods. You can't go in there with a firearm. In general, you can't go into LBL at all with a firearm at all. You can go in there with a knife, but that's about it. You know, you can't, even if you have a permit, even if you get your license, you still cannot go into this park with no firearm. It's just a fact. It's not covered up. I think it has a lot to do with the safety regulation, but
well, probably poaching as well, I would think.
Well, yeah, and people tend to forget that you know, it's a matter of like, okay, you're going in there with a firearm, so you could be shooting birds, bear, cougar, poach. You know, like you just said, you know, it's an idea that people just don't think before do and speak. But, you know, going real quick to LBL, going back to the government experimentation thing, the government, like I said, got involved in the areas with the killings. They told the two sheriffs to leave. Now, there is a reported story that they returned to the site that night, and there was government officials in there with some sort of high-tech equipment that outdates. Well, it goes back to the whole remedy of, like, can you kill one? And the creature, whatever they shot at, worked to murder. and there's in the area also, I should go off to comment that there are little shelters there, so or bunkers. So some people have speculated, including myself, that maybe there's more of them in the area, and that they put in case to prevent any more situations, they trap them in these bunkers and go from there, shoot to kill. And some people also believe that the LBLBs and a couple dogmen, going back to fatheads, you know, fatheads are the rogue dogmen. There are people that believe that these are government captured. These are originally a dogman, a normal flesh and blood, and then they, you know, put 1,000 drugs in one, capture it, and experiment on it. And then if it's rejected, some people believe it's the super soldier formula, or going into the case of Plum Island and Area 51, government temptation kept secret. You know, there's a lot of conspiracy behind it, and the rejects get thrown into the wilderness, and their bodies are more enhanced. You know, we've all seen Planet of the Apes, where, you know, or where they can, their intelligence is better. It's the Alzheimer's effect. You know, they have a full intelligence of an animal, and they roam the forests, and they are not friendly. So, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy behind the whole government experimentation thing, but I personally believe, and this is something I don't really discuss, so I'm going to give you the inside scoop. You know, I believe that these are originally birthed as a flesh and blood regular creature, but I believe that all around the world in general, because this isn't just in North America that this is that they're spotted, and they're spotted in Europe, Argentina, you know, in South America, the lore behind supernatural is big there, El Lobazone, the Wu, and, you know, all over the world, you know, you have people coming from, like, even in Japan that say they see these things. And it's wild how this is international, and it's unfortunate because people, I don't ever encourage nobody to go out and have an encounter with a dog. I never do that. I don't want people to go out there and risk their lives. More importantly, I hope no one ever sees one, because it's a very terrifying experience. I've interviewed a lot of people on the show and off the show, most of them off the show, including a couple people I know who have seen these things. And they have literally said that they saw hell right in front of their eyes. It's that terrifying. And I think a lot of it has to do because when you see the face, and more importantly, the face is like the scary. It's a freaky face. You know, like I said, you have a German Shepherd's head, you have a canine-looking one that, you know, it's basically like a large wolf, but at the same time, it has a human attributes. And then some of them look like, and as I put it, is that some of them look like bodybuilders, and some of them look like they just juiced up on a bunch of steroids and they're roaming the forest. You know, they've been able to throw trees down with just one touch. They've been able to, you know, make structures like Sasquatch and just break a bunch of crap just to make their points across. But so many people who've seen them have changed their perception on the way they see the wildlife. You know, people will go to work when the sun is fully up, and they'll leave work when the sun's about to go down and stay indoors the rest of the night because they are afraid that these things will come back. And some people have had them come back, but I think when they come back, they're either interested in them or they did something that was disrespectful, and they're coming back to kind of give them the warning. Now, one other thing I want to kind of get into real quick as well is the whole praying aspect. You know, there was, like I said about the one watchman in 36, he had prayed that this creature, hope to God this creature does not attack him or hurt him or harm him. And there have been some people who used prayer as a defense system to get these creatures away, or to just in case this creature was going to do something. And it backed off. There was actually a report of a family that was stalked and terrorized by these creatures, and they were about to get into the house one night, and they basically prayed and they backed off, never bothered again. Some people,
conclusion. Why do you think that is?
Well, some people, and that kind of goes into the lore of demonic entities, which, And I also want to go off on the note that speaks that the eyes shine. A lot of people believe that red eye shine indicates that this is a demonic creature. No. It, some animals in general have red eye shine, but if I saw a deer that has a red eye shine, is that deer automatically considered a demonic deer? No, it's considered the same deer as any other deer. People tend to get that confused. Now, of course, there might be some that are aggressive, fairly more aggressive than the average amber eye shine. Same thing with Sasquatch. But, you know, and the same thing goes with Mothman. You know, he has red eyes, some hypnotic red eyes, and some people think it's a demon or an angel of death, though I have a different opinion on that, but, you know, that's something I can save for another episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but, you know, I've taken pictures of my own dog, and he's had red eyes, so, I mean, it
right. You know,
people get red eye. I mean, it doesn't mean they're demonic by any stretch of imagination.
You know, if I have bad allergies and I have red eyes, am I automatically considered, you know, Pazuzu from The Exorcist? Absolutely not. It's not. People, the amount of exaggeration into these fields really fascinates me. But, you know, when it comes to demonic, some people, and it's interesting. I don't have an official answer on it. I just think it's just a matter of maybe they see prayer as a sign of weakness into their own realm. I mean, some people have prayed amongst an aggressive Sasquatch and it's backed off. It'll give a warning, like one more like calling card, and then it just vanishes. But it's hard to kind of throw out because there's not a lot of prayers that have been discussed, only like in patches. So it's hard to kind of go off on a limb and say that, oh, okay, they had an encounter and they prayed and it backed off and there's no official answer. It just worked. So, but I mean, sometimes if a prayer, I mean, who knows, maybe the prayer can backfire one day. I guarantee you running into a fathead dog, man. If you pray, I never had anybody talk about it, but I guarantee if you did run into it, I mean, I don't know what would happen. Would it kill you? Would it just laugh at you? Some people have reported that they've laughed, that dogmen have laughed at people when they've prayed, but they still back off. I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to have a definitive answer on it because, you know, I don't know for sure.
Could it possibly tie into the fact that this is connected to Native Americans who are highly spiritual people?
It could be, but, you know, the funny thing is, too, is that Linda Godfrey, I remember she was telling me this when I was interviewing her, had brought up a good point that she had an interview with a Native American chief who was head of the council, and her subject was on the dogmen, the man-wolf, and the chief was kind of nervous. He was like, oh, I don't like talking about them. And, you know, any Native American, you know, there was a story of this woman who went to go and buy some sort of, it was in the woods. It was like a gypsies. This is back in the 60s and 70s. And one of the gypsy men had offered to, she told this report, she was a little girl back then, but she had said that the gypsy men who followed her home had a gun on them and they were terrified. They were like, look, you know, we got to make sure you get back home safe, this and that. And then, you know, backing off, because she eventually said to him, like, look, we don't need your help, you know, we don't need you following us out here, we know the trail. And he backed off, but he was looking behind the whole time because he didn't want to let these little girls be, you know, lunch and dinner. And, you know, people will go off, and with Linda's case, you know, when she was talking about, like, when an interview with the one chief, you know, Native Americans, you know, if they are afraid of them, there is more to it that hasn't been discussed as much, but there is, I mean, people going back to the lore, you know, I've spoken to a couple of people who've said that, you know, the dogmen were water spirits. They were used as a sign of defense against enemy forces involving Native Americans. Now this is pre-discovery of America. So this is going back in the BC even, but you know, even after the BC, you know, it's hard to say the precise origin because obviously a guy who was around doing the census to acknowledge this, but it's theorized by Native American as well as researchers, but it's hard to precisely say. But going into the lore of one. You know, if I believe that if it is...
Are you still there? That's the sound. Can you guys hear that? Hey, we lost you.
Hello. Hey, sorry. I don't know what
hey,
that was.
Hey, we lost you. Welcome back.
Well,
there we
yeah,
go.
Sorry about that, guys. Thank you. What I was going to say was going back to, like I said, the religious views of Adam and Eve, another creature that was brought here on this planet, and it was basically in hiding for a while, and then enter the age of the Renaissance, the werewolf, the whole Salem witch trials following that afterwards, you know. There was also reports in Europe of werewolf trials where people were tried and prosecuted and found guilty of being werewolves. And, you know, not going into the whole interference with werewolves and dogmen, but these creatures in recent years have made more sightings known compared to 100 years ago, where, of course, there was a couple sightings there and there, Wexford County, Michigan being one in 1887, and then transition from there. And then there's the Big Bang Theory, where this was a creature that was summoned here or came from an alien ship or what, and it was here to roam the Earth. You know, there's so many theories on the origins basis, but it's hard to say precisely, but I think it falls into the Native American lore. The same goes for Sasquatch. You know, there's too much, there's so many theories on it, but I do believe in the Native American lore that it does come from the whole water spirits to there as protectors. And then you got to look back into the underworld of the gods of Egypt with the Anubis, which was one of the more...
Oh, I love Anubis.
Oh, Anubis is great. The whole lore of it being the Anubis, and it's been summoned back again, and it's there, it's breeded, it's had sightings. There's so much to the origins, but the folklore behind it, it's incredible. Unfortunately, I don't think in my generation, in our generation, in our society, in our time, that where we won't find the definitive origin, or we may never will. I mean, it's hard to point out because we're living in a transition period of our time where social media and economics has kind of gone downhill, but at the same time to the point where we're trying to learn how to focus and get back in shape with it. And there's no definitive answers. There's no definitive discussion. There's no definitive fine print on what these creatures, where they come from, where it could be. It's hard to point out. And of course, going back, like I said, Native Americans is a huge portion. When Linda Godfrey had that interview with that chief, it sounds to me like they're frowned upon or something, or it's just a respect thing where they don't talk about it, but they keep a proper eye about it, you know?
So what's your answer as do you think they're good guys or bad guys, or are they neither?
Neutral.
Like
I said, there are the fathead rogues that are considered the bad, will, you know, kill any dog man, kill anything in its path, humans even, as well as there are the other types where they're normal, flesh and blood, typical physique size, that are, I mean, you got to also remember, too, the thing is that they're, I like to consider them a wild animal. I know in our zoology demographics, they're not put out there as the animal of the world because it's called a cryptid for a reason, but I like to call them the apex predator of the food chain, even stronger than a lion. I mean, I wouldn't want to see a lion versus a dog man because I don't think people would want to see that escalate. But, you know, when it goes to good and bad, I do think that there are reports, like I said, the one eyewitness I had that was the female juvenile that picked her up and treated her like a human child. I do believe that there are some that are good, such as that one, that are there as protectors, as well as there are some out there that are, they're violent and they like to live on their own, not necessarily fat heads, but there are some that just choose to. And then, like, the typical teenager and the humans, the juveniles, when they become in their teenage years, will scare humans to kind of get a kick out of it, to do things juveniles do, which is why they're called juveniles. And they will do things, they'll kind of get out of hand, and then, you know, when the adults get around, and they, you know, they tell them to come back, you know, it's like that end game. But they could be good or bad. It depends. So I go with the neutral side, because upon my research with them, it sounds to me like, you know, the main enemy out of all of this, I would see, is humans. But at the same time, like any other animal in the forest, you know, they're defending their territory. So when a human sees one, when a human sees one, they'll look and be like, oh, look, a human. And the thing is, that, and this is interesting, I just had this conversation the other day with another researcher. He was bringing up the idea that they see us as killers, you know, guns, blades. We have weapons of mass destruction. We have a lot of things that can, you know, really, like, exterminate them and extinct them. But people also gotta understand too is that each dog man, like each human being, has a different personality. You know, some personalities tend to be good. Some personalities, they wake up on the wrong side of the tree bunk and they're aggressive. Sometimes, you know, they really do spark the interest of curiosity. But like I said at the beginning, you know, I really think it's a very bold move and a stupid move if you're going to go out there and give it a hug or try to find it or try to harm it. Or in general, you know, there are people who have been attacked by these creatures, not to the point where they're, you know, terribly mauled. You know, there was a report, Linda documented it too, about a decade ago in Canada and Quebec. A guy was going through a trail and saw one, and it scratched him. It lunged, but it scratched, but it didn't kill him. And he went to the hospital and said it was a bear attack, because I don't think the bear would sit there. Oh, not a bear, I'm sorry. I don't think the doctor who was operating him would take kindly that he was attacked by a man wolf. But,
No, probably they probably would put him away.
But, yeah, exactly. They probably would have looked at him like, really? But, yeah, you know, the Dogman lore is so popular, and it's a big topic. You know, when you look up Dogman on YouTube, which is why I want to kind of also throw out Vic Cundiff, who is another big name in the field with Dogman. He actually has his own show, airs every Friday night, called Dogman Encounters, where he interviews various eyewitnesses who've had encounters, researchers, and it's actually a really good show because they come on the show, they talk about it, and people will either love it for entertainment, or people like me, when I first got into the field and came back into the field, I actually got into it back in 2009 with Linda Godfrey's content, but he came on in 2015, so I took a break and I got back into it, and I wanted to learn more about it, so I took notes. I took notes on how they smell, how their heights are, 8 to 10 feet, their eye shine from red, amber to blue, orange, and the whole nine yards. You know, if you are fascinated with something that's incredible, you're either going to take notes or listen in and keep it memorized in your head. But it's an interesting topic to learn about, especially when it goes to the paranormal field, because like I said, when it comes to interdimension or even in the basis of alien involvement, you know, people have also reported that a fathead could be indeed an alien creature that comes down, different from the other DM. However, it's hard, like I said, it's hard to go ahead and confirm that without the best validated evidence. And evidence in this field is hard because of three reasons. Government is one of them. You know, there are people who report that have really good evidence and it's deleted from their cameras, deleted from their desktops. People can transfer to 7 different flash drives and just disappears. There's a conspiracy that some dog men have the ability with that technology to get rid of things. But like I said, alluding back to our previous talk, it's hard to believe if that's really possible, because that's something that it would be in a supernatural context or a paranormal context of how they can do that. Another reason is, and I've noticed a whole lot lately, is that there are people who will go out there and they'll talk about it, and they will share evidence at first, but they'll get ridiculed because it isn't the best evidence. And that goes into number three. If I was to be face-to-face with a 10-foot creature, now answer me this. If you were to be face-to-face with a 10-foot creature, are you going to run or you're going to back off quickly? You're not going to pull out your camera and snap a photograph because, you know, that's – I don't think anybody's going to sit there and take a photograph. Oh, I would – well, you know what? Going back to that, I know running would be the precise objective, but one thing I've learned in this field is that in general, with any cryptid, you don't run away because that makes you the prey. You back off slowly, but the one thing I've been told is that you never show fear. And it's very hard to do when you're confronted with a 10-foot, over 500-pound creature that could rip you in one slice, but you show it's no fear. It's not a sign of intimidation. It's a sign of respect, as another researcher has once said. But you know, at the same time, there are researchers out there who've had respect for these creatures that have communicated with them, that they won't go out there and exploit what they are. They'll go out and they'll say what they've talked, well, they don't even talk about what they've talked about, but they'll go out and they'll say, yeah, I know they exist, but I'm not going to go out and exploit them because I have no meaning to. You know, that's like saying that I'm a construction worker, but I'm not going to, you know I do it for a living, but I don't go out there and I'm going to tell my friend in R for the first time using the machine. And on top of that, I'm not a construction worker.
Right.
I'm just using that as an example. But point being, it's the same thing. But, you know, evidence is a rough thing. There are some good pieces of evidence if you guys want to take a look at them in the near future. I know, Rebecca, you're a part of the Dogman group. We upload there's evidence. Evidence from the Onaway photo to the East Texas photo. I actually had a woman send me a photograph I put on the she actually prayed. She's more of a Sasquatch researcher. She's communicated with the Sasquatches before, but she had actually went out and took a she was going on a nature walk and she saw this creature, but she prayed before it and she prayed during so. And this creature laid down and just didn't make a budge. And she took a photograph. It wasn't a good photograph because her adrenaline was 10 times more fast and terrified than ever. But the point is that she still got a photograph and she used the prayer technique and nothing happened. She did turn her back and she walked back slowly and she saw it, got up and was looking at her, but didn't make a move. But going back to, like I said, you know, it's hard to go on a leash and tell the public that you have evidence without feeling the need of ridicule, because like Sasquatch evidence, which is deemed hoax majority of the time, when you see somebody who's in a ghillie suit or somebody in a gorilla outfit, and you can clearly see that they are, and they're just making a mockery out of
right.
it. So it's hard for those people to go out and tell a story without feeling the need of ridicule. You know what I'm saying? It's just our way. It's an unfortunate way our society works with negativity, and that's kind of the reason why cryptozoologists, you know, they'll be enthusiasts about it, but they don't want to condone research because they're afraid of that. But that's something
that's
important.
When I was doing my research, there's the case of Robert Fortney. Do you know who that is?
I've heard of them. I haven't really dug into them, but I would like to hear a little bit about it.
Yeah, it took place back in the summer of 1938. He was 17 years old, and it appeared that he was fishing on the banks of Muskegon River near Paris, Michigan. And what he said happened is he was fishing, and all of a sudden this large pack of what appeared to be feral dogs emerged out of the woods. He said he kind of sat there quietly, but these animals started almost hunting him, circling him. And he said they had a loaded rifle nearby, and as the dogs approached, they kind of assumed a group posture, like you mentioned, of like a pack on a hunt. And he picked up his gun and fired a shot into the air. And he said the dog cringed and turned back into the woods, except for one, which was a huge black dog. He said that had blue eyes. And that was one of the things he said, you know, what kind of dog has blue eyes? And he said it got up on its hind legs, was probably 10 feet tall, and he fired another shot over this dog's head, and to his shock, the dog smiled at him and then glared at him before it ran off. And he said, you know, he never forgot it. I found that it's a really interesting story that, you know, these dog men have eyes of blue, which is highly unusual. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Right. And you know what, now thinking about it, I remember Robert's story. I've heard so many stories. I forgot that Robert. There's so many Roberts who've come forward. But yes, Robert's incident in 38. Amber, you know, the best eye shine is amber eye shine, and then the red eyes are the second, but there's blue eyes. And people don't know much about the blue eyes because it's sort of like a rare occasion. And then going back into the whole red eye thing, like the blue eyes, people believe that this is alien, that this is some sort of just mist, that the eye shines dictate that they have much more intriguing attributes compared to the amber eye shine. But, you know, there are some people who've come forward and said they've seen orange eye shine, green eye shine, but I don't think the eye shine has anything to do with it. But the blue eye shine is interesting, too, because now we're getting into some cool colors that, compared to your regular primary, that are, or the warm colors, that is, that are not really much heard of. But, you know, and they're also, I think, from what I got to make sure it's, it could be wrong, but, you know, some people will also report purple eyes, but like I said, you know, eye shine, it doesn't make a difference. They're still a dog man. Even the fatheads have amber eye shine and red eye shine, and they tend to do, they're highly more intelligent and can do 1,000 things more than a typical flesh and blood. But, you know, again, people tend to miscommunicate them for something different or something variable in a case of, you know, that it's a much more intimidating creature, but in fact it is already intimidating, but it's more intimidating if it, with its appearance and its eye shine, but that's not the case. And that's something I think for a lot of enthusiasts or people who are interested in the topic need to also understand, that it's not about eye shine, it's not about physique, because irregardless, if you want to try to go up against one, you're going to lose. Real quick, there was a bowman in LBL who had been found murdered. This was a decade ago, and in relation to the LBL beast, they found a bow that was used that had blood on it. Some people believe the blood, that he either tried to attack it or the creature just stepped on it or something when attacking this guy. But, you know, some people have said that, you know, there are some out there that will fire at one, and unless they hit it good, it'll run away, that the people have found blood. Then they come back to the site, they'll see the blood still fresh. There was a report of a guy that had a dog man. Well, there was this report of a couple people who, a woman who had a dog man problem on her property, and they, they had one of the young guys come into the house and take a look, bar the doors up and everything, make sure the area was placid, and that the young guy who was in there had heard this ramping going on outside, like a bunch of gunfire. He can hear these other hunters going, shoot it, shoot it, and it eventually fell into a bear trap. And they ended up cutting it up into 1,000 pieces and getting rid of it in efforts to hoping that there are not more or that prevent another case. But going real quick, that is actually also on Dogman Encounters. That's episode 66. And it's a pretty good episode if you guys want to take a listen to it. It's a really, really good episode. And it documents everything on it. But,
and Chris, if you want to real quick let people know where they can get a hold of you, I know that you're on Facebook. And the group name is exactly what? For our viewers.
Right.
Listeners, I should say. They're viewing YouTube as well.
Absolutely, most certainly. People can find Crypto Normal Lex, and generally they can find Dogman information to find more about it. They can take a look to all the non-believers only. And then there's a bunch of recommended groups that you can also join in, but that's the main group. They can find me at Crypto Normal X. I as silly as this sounds, so I'm not afraid to admit it. I made a typo on the Crypto Normal email. So I'm currently going to switch that email out because currently right now I'm on hiatus on my show. But I'm coming back with episodes in the end of September. And awesome. This October, Crypto Normal X is actually, because on my show I don't do just Dogman. I just go into every topic because going by its name, it's not Dogman X, it's Crypto Normal X. So I'm discussing more than just Dogman. But in October, precisely made for the season, we're doing a theme called Dogman Chronicles, which is going to have 10 episodes to aired each week. And leading up to October 31st, we're going to be doing interviews to research or interview the discussion it basically, but and to make it allude to the Halloween season, that's what we're doing for Crypto Normal X on the topic of Dogman.
Okay.
But they can find me on email at Kaz, that's KazNukeFM at gmail.com. That's our email we're using right now for the Crypto Normal or in general Dogman submit reports. And they can also find the Crypto Normal X Facebook group that you can join, as well as checking out the Facebook Crypto Normal X page on Facebook as well. And like I said, Crypto Normal X, CryptoNormalX. They can find the YouTube on, obviously, YouTube. And right now, we're currently, like I said, on hiatus, but we have 18 episodes, and so far, if you want to listen to the Dogman episodes, we have Vic Cundiff, Jody Cooke, Linda Godfrey. But if you want to take a look at all the other topics we discussed, from Sasquatch to Ghost
right.
to Beeman, you can go
well,
ahead
we
and do
sure
that. We will
make sure and link everything to the Paranormal Fringe for you. If you want to go ahead after the show and go ahead and hand me out, hand over all those links, we will definitely get them up on our page. And we would like to thank you, Chris Edge, for joining us tonight, and we'd love to have you on back on again if you have the time sometime soon to get into this a little bit more, because we barely scratched the surface. Again, thank you to all our listeners tonight. Thank you to my sick co-host, Ryan, for being here tonight. And we look forward to talking to you again next week on Paranormal Fringe. We'll be delving into the Men in Black. Get ready for that.
Thank you.
And
thank
you, guys. Thanks, Chris.
And
everybody
too.
Have a really abnormal evening. Thanks for listening
Absolutely.
To the Paranormal Friend.
Thank you guys for having me on. You guys have a fantastic evening.
You too. Bye-bye, Chris.
Bye-bye. Have a good night, guys.